Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writers' Room podcast where two Hollywood professionals and one totally bodacious dude have an hour to turn an idea into a radical, dadical pitch for an awesome movie. I'm your shock jock DJ, Freddy Wong.
Guess who I am? I'm Will Campos, a screenwriter.
Will, is the person currently that you're looking at, is it Matthew Arnold?
Oh, you got it. It was Matthew. What a good guess.
All right. I won. I'm Matt Arnold. I'm a writer, director. Freddie, you keep introducing us as professionals.
Correct.
Now, I was looking up the definition of professional, and It seems like the only
criteria is getting paid for what you do.
Yeah. I was just wondering, when was the last time we've gotten paid for anything movie related?
What are you talking about? We get paid for movie-related stuff all the time. I went to the Regal, and I asked for my money back, and they gave me my money back and the free popcorn because I complained. So that counts.
Well, what are we doing this week?
Well, since I figured, you know, it's E3, Electronic Entertainment Expo, the number one gathering of video game-related people and business and fans and journalists and games journalists. Notice how I keep those two separate. In one I figured we do the most gripping game of our lives, that Milton Bradley classic, Guess Who.
So for those of you that don't know, because I don't know if Guess Who is still very popular,
does it have like a weird name in other countries? Is it like in German it's like Wissen Sie macht, and you're like, what does that translate to? And it's like, know who it is. And you're like, okay, all right. Does it have like weird translations across? I like the idea that like
in Mandarin or Cantonese it translates as hot-handed god of guessing.
Anyways, the game itself is a two-player game where each person has essentially an array of faces in front of them, and they're on these little flippy things that you can flip down, but so it's an array of like 24 faces, and all you're trying to do is you're trying to guess who the other person picked, and you do that by saying something such as, does the person you pick have sunglasses? And if the answer is yes or no, you start flipping everybody down that has sunglasses, and hopefully by the end you have figured out who the person
picked. It's basically baby's first racial profiling, the video game.
Well,
the board game.
I mean, it can't really be racial profiling when the original game was all white people.
Was it really?
It's often criticized for its lack of diversity.
Oh, man.
And every time they have changed
guys, is Guess Who problematic?
I mean, arguably, yes.
No, I mean, most of the questions are, does the person have glasses? Or like, does the person have long hair?
Guess Who is a two-player game where you just ask if the person has glasses over and over again until you figure out which person it is.
On Wikipedia,
Is Guess Who, you know, like checkers is a solved game?
Yeah.
Have they figured out like what is the exact right line of questioning?
Yeah,
in
I think
Who?
Deep Blue is getting right on that one.
We liked this game when we were kids. I mean, there's something tactile and fun about like flipping the things down, especially when you ask a good question and you get flip everything down, and you also get a sense of how well your opponent's doing. Unlike Battleship, which you have no freaking clue how well the other person or how well you're doing. But
okay, I'm sorry, I just want to point out that there is in fact a math-based Guess Who strategy.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm sure there is, because you got used to like hats and things. It's like certain things you're like, this will take out a lot of people.
Guys, I don't know if there's a movie here.
Well, we picked it, and here's the other thing. We're sticking true to our time limit because we have a phone call, an important phone call that we're going to have to take
in about an hour. So
in
here
about
we go.
An hour.
The clock begins
about
now.
All right. I'll
can
ask.
Can I read my favorite Werner Herzog tweet about Guess Who?
Werner Herzog?
What? Like,
he didn't tweet about it, but this guy, Mutable Joe, tweeted about it. It's my favorite tweet of all time. Or just playing Guess Who, Werner Herzog. Does yours have eyes that know pain? A man haunted by his own spirit? Me. Yes. Is it Eric?
That's such a good. Oh, boy.
Anyway, Guess Who?
All right.
It feels like, right away, a detective story. Right? It feels like a crime caper, a series of Caucasian suspects.
Or speed dating.
It's like all of these. It's like set in Scandinavia to avoid all the various sticky issues. You're just like, yeah, they're mostly white in Scandinavia, right?
Or it's about someone who doesn't want to be found.
Or somebody who doesn't want to be found.
Damn.
Guess Who?
Who is your main character? Is it you, the player, trying to suss out who the guy is? Or is it the one guy in the whole group of people who's trying to not get caught? what are these people being lined up for? This feels like it's like the usual suspects.
I like this sort of, I like it almost an identity-esque, like multiple split personalities. Like, guess who I am right now? It's like a killer, and he's got like a bunch of multiple personalities. You know, and some of them are benign, but some of them are not. And it's like, guess who he is? And it's, if it's one of the serial killer ones, then you die.
Oh, or it's like a jigsaw type thing. Yeah. Okay, all right, hold on. He wakes up and there's this room full of like just 60 random people. We're going to, you know, this is a Hollywood movie.
Oh, okay.
It's
big
Hollywood. Big one Hollywood of them movie. Is the serial killer. Right? And he only has 20 questions to narrow it down.
20 questions is a lot.
Or they're all serial killers and there's one innocent person.
Oh.
But every time he guesses, all those people die.
No, or what you would do is, okay, in order to try to do that, like, back and forth, because it's about trying to guess the person before the other person guesses.
Oh, there's
person.
Two people guessing.
So it could be that you're trying to guess who the serial killer is, or the killer,
mm-hmm.
before they figure out who their target is.
Wait, so...
So there's like a party of 60 people, let's just mm-hmm. say, since it's a big Hollywood movie.
If it was an indie film, there'd be 10 people, but since
we
it's a big Hollywood
no
movie...
no expense with this movie
like
party.
And they're like, we know there's a killer here, so we need to figure him out by seeing, does he have glasses? And does he have a big nose?
Do
or does he wear a hat? Which are the three most common questions according to Wikipedia.
And
then... and then... But that killer has been assigned to murder somebody, but for some reason he doesn't know exactly who, and he's trying to figure out his victim by also asking such questions.
How incredible would it be if it's
awful? Well, the victim is the guy who's looking for him. That's who he's hired to kill.
Yes.
So you have your own person, and then they have a person, right?
I'm just saying that the killer's also...
How does the game work? The game has you each have a person,
and the
other person's
trying
to guess.
Yes. You've each picked a person, and you take turns guessing.
Okay.
And then the person who picks... who finds the person first wins.
Okay.
So that's what I was trying to do. Is like you could do that. You are trying to catch the killer before he figures out who he's supposed to kill.
Okay.
A killer has grabbed, let's say you are the main character, Will.
Yes.
And I am the murderer.
Mm-hmm.
I have found the 24 most important people in your life. And somehow I'm narrowing down who I'm going to kill based off of your questions. Okay. Weird left turn just as we're trying to throw stuff out. How about... Okay, let's hang on to the killer thing for a second. But what if, Freddie, you were bringing up that a computer program has figured out an efficient way
of
winning guests?
Well, no. Not just a computer program. It's a guy who's come up with a method which will allow you to win 96% of the time. So it's a championship. But
that last 4% comes down to pure human instinct.
That pure instinct. Oh,
well, what happens?
So this is ultra instinct.
What happens if the other person does the same thing?
Now that is one that even Deep Blue
winner.
Couldn't simulate. It's going to be the winner
I was wondering.
It's going to come down to what we call who started first.
Yeah. The one thing I was thinking is the inventor of Guess Who is obsessed with making it so that he can beat a computer. he realizes his game's, like, he thought his game was great, but he realizes it's easier to break than checkers even. So then I was thinking about your Werner Herzog thing where this guy becomes obsessed with, like, all the pictures become, like, abstract portraits and things that only humans could guess, so you can beat a computer. So it is like, is your person ever felt the death of a sibling? And a computer's like, he doesn't figure it out.
He's like, I don't know if I can read a street. I can barely tell if there's street signs in this picture or not.
How about speed dating?
What do you mean dating? Speed dating? Oh, like a rom-com.
Because then at least you could get into like, you never find the right person because you're just asking the superficial questions like...
What do they look like on the outside?
What do they look like on the outside? Like, I don't like guys with glasses. Dung, 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 dung. They go down. And like, I don't like...
It's
it'd be about like
app.
The person who's run the speed dating place and like, you know, maybe there's like a competitive speed dating place and of course the person they're looking for are each other
so it's
like
two people in love.
Yeah.
And they were looking for each other. The real Guess Who is the friends we made along the way.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Well, Matt, tell us about
speed
dating.
Keep going, Matt.
What? I just did it.
So you're saying here's like this guy's like, I got this. I like the idea real quick. I like the idea of like old school speed dating in a world where you have Tinder, right? Like there's a certain just as a side note, like I know a couple of people who it's a couple and they are like old school matchmakers. Like mm-hmm. they literally are like, yes, we will pair you up
with a person, and they've had like I think a 70-80% success rate,
KD ratio,
right? Like a 70%.
That's good enough to go pro.
That's like a go pro, like, you know. And so the idea of like the old coins methods being, you know, like kind of making a comeback in the context of a rom com set in the modern day, I think actually has some legs.
Okay.
Yes.
So it starts with these two people wake up and they have amnesia.
Okay.
And what if you forgot who your soulmate was?
Okay.
Shit.
And what if they forgot too?
Okay.
Damn.
And you guys were high school sweethearts. Okay. That's all you know.
Okay.
And so you've got this yearbook
with
all the photos of everyone you went to high school with.
Okay.
And you're trying to figure out which one is the woman or man or whoever that you love.
Okay.
And they're doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's the movie. Guess who? That's the other thing. I'm like, who are they asking? Who is asking questions to who? Who is answering questions? I don't know who they're asking. God.
They're asking themselves. Okay,
okay. God, does my lover have glasses or a hat?
Because that's why you need like some sort of like that's why I was thinking speed dating, or again, maybe if you
some
did,
structure to it.
I was reading this book and I was going, they go through a lot of the history of all these different dating shows, and there's one called like Next, which was like on a bus.
My friend was on Next.
Yeah, so there's like, but like there's also there's this Irish one that is like there's like 40 guys. That's like each episode's like 40 guys, and they have like 1 second to say something. And it's like very Tinder-esque where the girl just goes nope, and they just disappear. And like literally, they're all in pods and they're lit up. And when she says no, they just go boom, and it makes like a noise, and they just disappear into darkness.
Wow.
So it's very funny when like the girl will say something like, you know, do you play sports? And then like a bunch of guys go no, and you hear boom, 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 and then like 30 pods go dark. It's like damn, dude, she just iced out like 30 dudes.
Okay.
So if you did like. If Guess Who was like a dating show, and it's this guy who runs the Guess Who dating show, and it is, it's like this very superficial, like you come
here's
on,
what
and it's
is,
like,
here's what
do you want to get out of glasses? And she's like, no. It's like, dun, 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 dun.
No, here's
and
what it is.
And at the end, he's hooking up people for like superficial reasons, but it's very like about a boy where he's rich. He's rich and superficial, and he's helping people fall in love for the wrong reasons.
Sorry, Freddie. Can I jump in and then you jump in?
Yeah, yeah, go.
So yeah, you would do, and the way the show works is, this. We should just do this as a game show for real, but you do the game show, it's called Guess Who, and then it's, there's 20 gals and 20 guys, right? And in there is like the one guy and the one, I don't know. This feels like this would never work out because it's like he asks the guy, like, I don't know. This is,
I would just make it one-sided.
It's
which
one-sided.
Is, yeah, I would just do that. Right. The person picks.
So she's asking these questions.
Yeah.
And then
whoever she ends up with at the end, they have to go on a date.
They have to go on a date with. I see.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, and they don't quite know. They don't see everybody. Mm-hmm. They just see the backs of people. Ooh, yeah, yeah. So it's like, okay, there's like literally like a grid of 24 guys if this was like a girl contestant. And she could just see their silhouettes. And she'd be like, I guess it's the opposite of, because it's just process of elimination rather than trying to find somebody specific. But,
well,
be like,
but
I don't want a guy with glasses. And then all the things would go dark. It's like, I want somebody with red hair. And then they all go dark. And then at the end, there's one person left. And it turns around.
And turns around and says, you're selfish.
Well, okay, what about this? What about this? What about this, though? And I know that, like, they kind of, I know that MTV kind of has a show like this. But the idea is, like, what if this guy, this eccentric computer, what have you, has figured out by searching through your internet history, by searching through your entire life, your soulmate.
Okay.
They figured it out. But the question is, they can't just tell you. Like, maybe the
Why
show
not?
Is like, because that's not the show.
That destroys like 90% of Black Mirror episodes, by the way. It's just like, why? Like, just, but why?
Yeah, but like, why?
It
though?
Figures this thing out, but it can't tell you.
No, or he's crazy, right? He's like, I want you to find, you know, it's in the personality. He's like, I want you to find your soulmate by asking questions about hair color and glasses. And so the point being is that, like, at least there's some authority, some like A, or maybe some faceless AI is like, no, it's like, you are the perfect for each other, but you must find each other by asking questions. This is the show. Welcome to the show. With multiple Emmy award winning show, Guess Who? I am your host, Computer Lover 69.
Is it just a movie about people playing Guess Who?
Well, what would that be? I mean, I was thinking, what if
and then like, no, but like, yeah, like if it was like computer chess. Do you guys see computer chess?
What? No.
Computer
I mean,
Chess is an incredible movie, by
the
way.
What is this movie?
Oh, it's great. It's set in the 80s, and it's basically a tournament for computers that play chess. So it's like all of these teams of nerds that bring their computers. And it's just these weird vignettes of like these like people and like the computers face off against each other, and one of them kind of becomes sentient and stuff like that. It's a really fun, very quirky movie. It's like if you were just going to do a movie set at a Guess Who tournament, and then it was like...
It's a kid who... It's a kid who never met his real dad. The only thing he knows about him is that he's a professional Guess Who player.
Oh, I thought you were going a different direction.
So he makes a Guess Who tournament, and he's building. He wants his town to become the most notorious world champ. Like he wants his town to throw the biggest Guess Who tournament, so it will lure his dad here, and then he can play against his dad. And then when his dad says, "Did you pick Guess Who?" Your son.
I thought...
I don't know.
This is so silly. Wait, I thought you were going in the direction of the kid.
The problem with Guess Who is every story idea stops working the moment Guess Who happens.
That exact line at just the climax of your movie. It's Guess Who, your son.
The guy's like, dang. Well, you could have just texted me.
I thought your thing was there'd be a group of people and this kid's trying to guess who his dad is. He's like, does he have red hair? Well, I don't
he has
red
a list.
Hair.
All right, bear with me. This is important. Right. Okay. This is important.
Okay.
There's like that movie, Definitely Maybe, where it's him and his daughter, and he's telling her like these three stories about three women he dated, and it's like, but like one of them is going to turn, it's kind of like a How I Met Your Mother scenario, where like one of them is going to turn out to be his mom, and like one of them is the girl that got away, and like she's trying to figure out which is which, you know, because he and the mom are divorced now. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
If it sounds like I don't know this movie very well, it's because I was in the other room while my wife was watching. So there's like
I've
that.
Seen this movie through a wall.
And there's Mamma Mia. Do you get Mamma Mia? It's her and her mom and Mamma Mia. She's like, she's like, which
wait,
one?
Wait, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
I've seen that. I'm not done describing Mamma Mia, Freddie. But so in Mamma Mia, she's trying to figure out again, like her mom dated these three hot dudes back in the day, and now there's these three hot older men at this island, and she wants to figure out which one of them is her dad. And like it's like a whole thing, and then they sing and dance and whatever. So like again, like that kind
so
of
is that, but with 24 dads.
But with 24
like,
dads.
Her dad was her, you know, yeah, her mom and lived then, a life.
It just here's the problem with okay all right here I feel I feel like I've drilled down on something here.
Okay.
Here's the problem is that the reason the movie stops cold is that a fucking Guess Who game takes like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, so okay, it's like but he's trying to figure out who this person is, and then the person he's asking just has to answer all of his questions. Like, yes, through process of elimination, if you just asked someone, you could whittle it down pretty damn quick. Well,
but maybe I think one last
maybe
shot
we
at
less
this.
Literally let less literally adapt.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's
who,
one. Okay, let me take one. Oh. I had one. Oh, what were you gonna say?
I have an idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh boy.
You do the person that you know, there's that thing that people have where they can't remember faces.
Yeah, face blindness.
Face blindness. Okay. So the person that's answering the question has face blindness.
Okay.
So like normally that you would just ask like, does he have
so you're
glasses?
Playing against somebody and Guess Who who's just cheating.
No. But I'm like, are you trying to take the game and like make the game button real life, right? Mm. So it's like if it's like or it's like you're trying to like, you know, it's you're all right, like it's a three hanky picture. It's a weepy. It's a okay. It's one of those, and it's like okay. If you look at the end of The Notebook when he's got Alzheimer's or she's got Alzheimer's, and like
one of them does. But
one of them does. Another movie I haven't really seen, and then the other one's like and that was the story how of many? The Notebook, and it was the story of us, which I tell you every day, right? I think that's how that movie goes. But all right, hold on. So you do like it's this guy, right, okay. Or it's this girl, and her grandmother is dying and has Alzheimer's. And never got to reunite with the man she loved back in the day, right? And so this kid is not ready to let go of the grandmother. And so she's asking her these questions about the guy, trying to figure out who he is. And she's narrowing down the field, but will she be able to reunite the two of them so that they can, you know, like, so that they can have that closure?
So they can smooch.
They can have one last kiss. That's the subtitle of the movie, Guess Who? One Last Kiss. And again, she and her grandmother play Guess Who, right? And her grandmother's kind of like, again, like she's sort of like, you know, losing her memory and stuff like that. And Guess Guess Who's this game that they play to keep their teeth for to keep her teeth sharp, and she gnaws on the Guess Who pieces. But then so she starts using this game to interact with her grandmother mm-hmm. to try to get her to open up about what this guy who this guy was, mm-hmm. and then she's trying to find the guy.
There is something here. You do it like it's almost like a Godfather 2 thing where you go back in time and you see like you know. The war, what have you, and
just
they've
a
been
war.
Separate. There's just the war. Yeah, you know, when you're talking about one of
sort
the
of
wars,
a miscellaneous war.
Just like one of the, it's overseas. It's definitely one of those overseas wars.
All her
like
grandma
sort of
knows
tone.
Is that the her father. Yeah, all her grandma knows is that her grandfather was part of like. Whatever, the 54th Squadron or something.
Yes, the infamous 54th.
So she's got
54.
The faces of all the guys
yes.
from the Squadron.
Oh, yes, yeah, she has yeah. faces of like 40 guys or whatever. And they put them all, and literally the granddaughter puts them all in a Guess Who board because they play
yeah,
Guess
yeah.
Who. And she starts asking her questions because she doesn't remember which one. Again, she doesn't know the grandfather.
Yeah, she couldn't
She just had sex with all of them.
But and it's like, oh, yeah. I had so many lovers yes. when I was a spy for the resistance in France.
Whoa, Grandma's
I did
cool
my duty
fuck.
To this country.
Okay, no, but this is good. Yeah. This is good. We're getting somewhere. Because then you do like, it's like Slumdog Millionaire, dog.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, like the Slumdog Millionaire, he asks him the question, right? And then just the whole flashback about how he, about the, and then that brings him up to the answer to the yeah. question, right? So
right.
each one of these Guess Who questions is like, did he, what, you know, like, did he have ginger hair or did he have glasses or whatever, right? And then you get a bit of her life back in the day
yeah,
in the war.
Yeah.
While she's trying to remember.
As she's trying to remember. And it walks you through the story of this woman's life as
yes.
she's, and again, like, and then again, we're meeting all of these hunks. We're meeting our three hunks. And we're like, which hunk is it going to be?
Not three. 24.
Well, at the beginning.
Hunks.
At the beginning, it's 24.
Yeah, because
hunks,
you start, she comes in and it's this whole squad comes into the USO or whatever. And there's
a big
dance. And she's like, come on, like the grandpa, like, did you dance with him first? He's like, yeah. It's like, well, what color was his hair?
Yeah.
And she doesn't remember.
Oh,
she remembers.
Yeah,
she's telling the story. She's like, I think it was brown. And then they flip them all down. Oh, okay. I got the ending, too.
Oh, boy.
Because what you do is you do that is happening. Again, Guess Who's two players. Is happening right when they realize who the last person is. They're like, oh my God. And they run outside and they open the door to leave.
And it's a guy.
And it's the guy and a grandson.
Yeah.
And he's sitting like, there and he's like, and they recognize each other that he had been doing the same thing across the thing. And she's like, I remember you. She's like, I remember
you. The music
you.
Swells.
All she knows is she used to play Guess Who with this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, because you know why? Because it's a cross-language romance. So it's one of those, like, this is how they were learning to speak to each
Wait,
other.
Wait, how's that cross-language?
Just shut up for a second. Okay. All right.
Yeah, here's how it's cross-language. Your language, you shut up.
He's an American soldier
yeah.
coming to Europe during mm-hmm. the miscellaneous war. Mm-hmm. And again, she was in the French village, mm-hmm. right? And there are these units. So, again, he didn't speak French. He didn't speak English. She didn't speak English. But they played Guess Who, which wasn't invented back then. But whatever, bear with me. But, like, the idea, like, this game was how they communicated with each other. This was like how their flirtation started.
I like that. I wasn't trying to be difficult. Just if all the games you could pick, Guess Who's the most language driven?
Because they're trying to teach each other language. They're trying to using the game to learn how to communicate with each other.
Yeah, they're
okay,
like
so they're using
the language of love
specifically to talk.
They're like spectacles
yeah, yeah.
and they make
yeah, you know,
little
they,
finger
they
hands.
Gesture
yeah.
out there. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. yeah. No, you can do something cute that they played. I mean, yeah. That
I pitch you gold and give me yeah whatever we'll throw that
no,
in.
No, I just
top.
Don't know. I mean, I think it's
I know.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Just,
I think
I'm
that they're I like that. So it's like a World War II. It's like a it's a woman. It would be one of those things where she didn't know her grandmother very well, mm-hmm. and it's almost like she wishes she had spent more time with her. It's almost too late. Like she comes and she realizes her grandma's slipping away and mm-hmm. she's lost her memory. She doesn't remember her.
I'm gonna throw a little spin on you.
Okay,
I'm gonna throw a little in honor of Pride Month.
Okay.
I think what you do is I think you do that the grandmother or the mm-hmm. grandfather, let's say, the mm-hmm. grandfather, he had this whole life, but mm-hmm. the kid finds out the grandfather's gay.
Okay.
And he had this love affair. Like, he had this love affair during the war, during, mm-hmm. you know, like, way back in the day. But then he had to give it up. He gave it all up, right? Like, he turned his back on it. And so then, like, it's that extra stakes to give you the... I don't know. I would just throw that in to spin on it.
Yeah,
I don't want to be the person who throws it away. It works. The only concern I have is that I just feel like then the first question would be like, okay, of these 24 soldiers, which one was gay?
What are they going to do? Go around to like every octogenarian World War II soldier that can finally be like, were you gay back in the war? Like, no, like it's, I don't know that that's necessarily a speed bump, but I like the idea of reunion because it gives a little bit of extra emotion to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like in
fair,
terms of like, the, it was,
well, because it's a love that could not have, you know, and it's, yeah. And all that.
So you're saying they never got, okay, wait. So yeah, I'm just trying to get, cause before, okay. So it is, this is not like the granddaughter's father then.
Yes, I mean it's the, yes, the, it's her grandfather.
No, the person, the way I was imagining,
they're not
it,
looking for their grandpa.
Yes, if this was like me talking to my grandmother, mm-hmm. It is, I never knew my grandfather because he was lost.
Oh, I don't know
war.
That it's her looking for her grandfather. It's her trying to help her grandmother pass into this next world with a bit of peace, with a bit
remembering
of closure. Do you know what I mean? It's not about the kid finding out the idea. It's about the love story. Do you know what I mean? I just don't know that it needs to be about that. Yeah, yeah.
So this grandfather was in the war, and now he is slipping away. He's senile. He's got Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And she finds, while taking care of him, she finds something. Love letters to a man where she realizes he had this.
And then
lover
he never used his name because they were too scared of getting caught.
So a secret.
Yeah.
And she asks about him, and the guy starts crying because he reveals that he doesn't remember his face or know who he is because they never kept pictures of each other.
Yeah.
They never use their name, so he doesn't have any memories. He doesn't have any physical proof of it because it was a forbidden love affair.
Exactly.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
And then she is like depressed. She's like, this is horrible. And then she comes up with an idea of how to maybe help him.
Yes, exactly.
Being like, okay, maybe if I can, right? It's like that thing when if you slip away, if you forget a dream, they say one of the techniques is you start asking somebody about the dream.
Yeah.
And when you start defending, it's like, oh, no, that didn't happen in my dream. All of a sudden, you start remembering the dream better.
Exactly. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, like, you'll say stuff like, oh, in your dream, you must have been running across a field. And you're like, oh, no, I wasn't in a field. I was on concrete. And, like, a moment ago, you wouldn't have been able to say it was concrete.
You were on concrete. Exactly. Yeah.
Because your brain kind of, like, can accept something being wrong and challenging. And so
interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that, she could be, like, a psych major or something if you
she,
want to.
She invented psychology, let's say.
She's a time traveler.
She's a time traveling neurosurgeon, psychic, psychologist.
She was from the 12th century. And she's actually helping her great-great-great-great-great-grandnephew figure this out as she's coming up with the idea of psychology.
Also, she's a vampire hunter.
She's a vampire hunter.
All right, so should we try to figure out this story? Like, all right. Like, this is...
We have
7 seconds.
We're looking at, we are just at the halfway mark here. So 30,
really?
All right.
30 minutes remaining. All right.
When was Guess Who made?
Guess Who was made in 1979. So, I mean, honestly, it would be like,
We don't need to do the they played Guess Who angle.
No, I was going to say that.
Or do you like it?
No, well, I was going to say that it could be that it was Milton Bradley. Like, Milton Bradley's gay. And this was like a guy who worked at his factory. And it's like literally making a round guess, making about the story of Guess Who. It was going to be called Guess Who. Like, I don't know what the war story would be. It's a war movie. But like, make it about this guy who just wants to bring joy to families. And he just wants to make wonderful games. And he falls in love, and he falls in love with a factory worker, and they have this forbidden romance. Are you willing to throw away your business for love? And
oh,
he makes
it's
the run.
So good.
Shit,
this is very good. I will say that Milton Bradley died in 1911. But I kind of don't care.
Yeah, let's just ignore
it. I don't care about that at all.
Yeah, let's just say this was during this. Like, yeah, who
yes,
cares?
This when is this, we're at it's time out of time.
It's time out of time. Well, yeah, we didn't know this. We didn't get the license, so this movie's called Guess What?
Guess What? Guess What? Milton Bradley was gay.
This movie's called Guess What Person.
Guess what person.
All right. I'm quickly scrolling Milton Bradley's life story to make sure he wasn't like a horrible piece of shit.
I mean, like
that.
Just make it a different person.
Probably. I mean, right? Like, everyone's horrible.
Wilton Brady. Look, Wilton Brady was part of the Wilton Brady Company. During the war.
Yes.
Shit was horrible, and he had one dream because he was like a draft dodge or something. He's like injured. Ooh, yeah, even give him like some like he's like, you know, he's in a wheelchair or something.
Okay.
And all he wants to do is bring joy to the kids who their parents are out. So he just he believes in board games. He believes in making toys still. Mm-hmm. And yes, he has this idea that's going to save the company, and it's this Guess Who game. And it would be like a little bit like Hudsucker Proxy, like he's trying to figure it out. And I just imagine that as he's like figuring out this game, he's like, is this game any fun? It's like Studley factory worker comes down and be like, oh, sir, I think you dropped a piece. He picks it up. He's like, hey, would you mind playing this game with me? Like, seeing what you... And he's like, I want to find out what the everyman thinks.
Oh, shit.
So he starts playing games with this factory worker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. It's like a cross-class thing, too.
At first, it starts with just, is your person wearing glasses? And then eventually, the guy realizes that, oh, my God, this scene... This is a sexy movie. The scene is the factory worker, Wilton Bradley, realizes... Wilton Brady realizes that everything he's asking is... Wilton is what Wilton Brady looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's who the factory worker has picked on his other side.
Yeah.
He's like, does he have glasses? And Wilton Brady's like, yeah. And he's like, guess who? He turns the picture around. He's like, it's you. It's Wilton Brady. He's like, oh, that's creepy. I'm not gay. And he runs away.
It's you. It's always been
it's
you.
Always
it's
always been
oh
you.
Oh, my God. All right. So we're going with the okay. So he was this guy. Well, let's say he was a game designer at Milton Bradley, right? Mm-hmm. And he was trying to come up with the game. Or were you saying that he was the creator of the company?
Okay, what if it was
oh
the...
Oh, my God.
What if...
Matt
I'm
had such
find
a
the
pure
solution.
Look of joy.
What if... Face. Okay, this doesn't quite make sense. What if... But bear with me. What if it was the artist that was hired to do the portraits? Of people? And one of the things he does is the little thing that can always keep themselves together is that... One of the pictures, he hid a portrait of the two of them in the game, guess who? Mm-hmm. And when she realizes that, it's like, because you have that moment where at the end, she's like, we're never going to find out. It's down to 7 people. It's not enough information.
Yeah,
and then something,
no
she's like, wait a second.
Them.
She opens up an old edition of Guess Who and like pulls out all the portraits and she splits one in half because that cardboard's like multi-layer. And she pulls it in half and there's a portrait of Wilton Brady and the guy. And then she looks at that portrait next to all the remaining pictures and she figures out who it is. Like they have a portrait of them or something.
Oh, like
know.
An Easter egg in the board game?
Yeah, or like even one that... Or
she just realized that Wilton is definitely one of these characters. And so she's like, wait, if he's in here, then maybe Gramps' lover's in here too. And then you realize, like, oh, whatever it is, but it's like, oh, the artist.
She realizes that one of them, sorry, if one of the portraits, if you fold it, there's actually just a nude portrait on the bottom. Like,
oh, like
Titanic.
The heart of the ocean?
Like,
yeah.
There's like a heart of the ocean. He's like, oh, we should have shipped that edition.
I mean, you could do that. It doesn't need to be a twist. You could do that. They are playing with an old board game of like the first edition of Guess Who,
first edition.
Because this character was in Guess Who. Do you know what I mean? Like, that could be the first, that could be one of the first clues she puts together. That's why she starts playing the game with him, because it's the only
right.
way to figure it out.
Right.
Self-portrait of himself.
Well, I don't know whether it's the artist or what, but then you could also do, like, again, like, they have these characters that got discontinued, right? And it's like, why did they get discontinued? And maybe it was like, someone found, that's your low point of the movie. Someone found out that the portrait of his lover was in this game, but they didn't know who it was. So they destroyed all the next version of the game they got rid of all of the portraits and updated the portraits with new people, right? And that would be like when, you know, the evil accountant finds out. He's gonna blackmail him, and so he has it destroyed to protect his lover's reputation.
I like, I don't know, I wouldn't do that he destroys all of them. I like that it is, because yes, there's a few people that were destroyed. I would do that. They go through it all and they still haven't found it.
Yeah.
And then she like goes on Wikipedia or she realizes that, wait, that portrait was destroyed. It was only in the first editions of the board games or something. And she realizes there's one person that's different from the original board game. And then that's the portrait. And yes, then she finds out it's because his business partner found out and... made him swear, like,
us.
This has to end now. Like, you're going to risk the whole business.
This is a family company, Wilton.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and he made the wrong decision.
Oh, no, so Danny gave away love for his corporate job.
But they're going to go to see him, and they're going to open the door, and he's going to be there, and they're going to remember each other.
Yes.
And they're going to, these two old, beautiful men are going to
rain. Oh, and then you do, it's because they go, and the guy's at a resting home, and then he gets into the resting home, and then... He's looking at all these old faces, right? And it's like, is he going to be able to figure out which one it actually... Because, again, this is a picture of a young man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So is he going to be able... And then he's looking across the faces, and then one old guy makes eye contact.
Stands up.
He stands up. The only ones sit down, and it's like, the guess who?
Oh, my God.
Stands up. They look at him.
Yeah.
And
then they're both crying, and then they kiss, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather do it... It's just like, I don't know if you want the last kiss being like...
Oh, an old.
Where
it's
got to
be romantic. It's got to be romantic.
In the doorway.
Shit.
Yeah, I feel like they're gonna go, and then it's like the surprise being that this guy has also been searching for him and just found him.
Or they think, you know, this is even
better. But I still like that tension of the moment of like,
yeah,
he's
like,
around,
is he gonna remember?
It's like, is he gonna remember who he is? Yeah. And then they see each other. You gotta do
that. Yeah, yeah. I think you do that. You just do the whatever.
But you gotta do it like somewhere.
The old folks' home is a nice outdoor park that looks nice, and that's where they kiss.
It's a sandals resort.
You know what I've never seen? What? I've never seen. Here's the problem with all disaster movies.
Okay.
You don't know when disasters are coming in real life. But you go to a disaster movie, you're like, all right, like, where's the earthquake? What you don't see is a movie that's not a disaster movie, and then a disaster happens in them. Like a real disaster. Like,
so it's just like four weddings and a funeral, then an hour and a half in, there's an earthquake?
There's an earthquake.
Like the midpoint, yeah, that's true.
Because
like, what's the nature?
What's
the nature of disasters, right? What's the nature of disasters that we are not prepared for it? So it's like there needs to be a movie, and it's just like, what's the midpoint turn? Well, that's when the tornado kills
half the cast. The 9.6 earthquake in Los Angeles, right as this beautiful couple finds each other again, and they're split literally by a crack in the earth.
That's basically what the movie Remember Me was.
Is that the one that's 9/11?
It's Pierce Brosnan and Robert Patrick, and like he's trying to prove that he's good enough for the daughter.
Yeah.
And then like the end of the movie, like the last 10 minutes, is the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Hits the plane hits the World Trade Center, and they're in the World Trade Center. And then it cuts to a teacher writing the date on the chalkboard, and it's September 11th, 2001.
Robert Pattinson,
not Robert
Patrick.
Patrick.
Robert Patrick is the Terminator 2 guy. Remember Me. That's a much more sinister movie.
Robert Patrick's trying to convince Pierce Brosnan that he should date his daughter, I guess. All right.
We won't do the disaster.
We won't do the disaster.
Okay, well, then, I mean, that's more or less...
Well, no, but let's walk through it.
Okay,
Okay, so, act one. Grandpa is dying.
Yes.
And the granddaughter is really sad about it. She had a special bond with the grandfather growing up. Let's get some usernames. So we got Wilton Bradley... Give me we got Tom Brady. Thank you, by the way, so much to all of the people who submitted their names last week and their mom's names.
Yeah.
This feels like maybe a good mom's name role.
Yeah, the girl,
the plucky girl who's going to help the old timers get together.
Kara Stokes.
She's stoked to help her grandpa. Kara Stokes.
All right, so Kara is her grandfather is dying. Kara
you need something with her. Like, so, what even if as simple as, is she normally taking care of the grandfather?
She's going to find these notes, right? Yeah. Like, she's going to discover these notes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, she gets this box from the grandfather. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like,
They're cleaning out the
it
old
could be
spot.
What it
they're
could
moving
be.
Him into hospice care.
Or I was about to say, you could do, so, like, there is, like, living facilities that there's different levels for elderly. And then,
there's the platinum level.
Well, there's you're independent. Oh, and then there's you need some care. And then there's hospice, which essentially.
You need help.
You need help 24/7.
Right.
So it could be, it could be something like he's been more or less okay, but he's had an episode and they are transferring him to hospice care.
Okay.
And maybe you could do the rest of the family. Again, the mother, the grandmother's probably died a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, her, if she has any siblings, one of them's in Europe, she's the closest one. It's a little bit of an inconvenience even. Like, it's not that it might not be that she doesn't like her grandfather, but, I would maybe do something where it's like a tough time in her life too or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, maybe you do, she's estranged from the grandfather. Mm-hmm. Do you want that kind of angle on it?
Yeah, I feel like it would be also more, especially in this culture, it'd be more realistic. It's like, it's doubtful that she has been sitting around with him all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, if she's again, you could do that. She's
okay. All right. To throw another hook on it.
Mm-hmm. 15 minutes. By the
okay.
way.
If you were going to, do it that way, do you do that? She and the grandfather used to be close, mm-hmm. but then Kara came out. And then her grandfather stopped speaking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks it's because her grandfather is a bigot, but it's because it's too painful for him. Like, it's, or he doesn't want to deal with, I don't know. Is that weird?
Yeah, I think
it might be weird.
My stupid thing was like that. Like, you just do that. Kira's this like plucky, ambitious woman who's making a new dating app and she thinks she's got love all figured out. And then all of a sudden, like, while she's got a big pitch coming, all of a sudden her mom in Europe is like, you gotta go take care of grandpa. They're moving to hospice. He needs some help. He's like, I can't take care of grandpa. I got a big pitch for my, Tinder app.
Here's my thing, though, is that this person is going to be someone who right away is going to go hard in the paint to figure this out, right?
Mm-hmm,
so it feels like, if anything, this is about she's not ready to let her grandfather go, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is like, if she's close to this guy and...
But
like,
could you make this about, could you make this... Could he have a? I'm trying to think. Does she have to go hard for the paint, or can this be that she, like, this intrigues her, like, at first, like, and she gets sucked into it, like, rather than like all in? You know, I'm gonna find this out for you.
I just don't know if it works. I mean, if it's just like estranged or like not.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it feels like they have a good, you know, relationship, and that she cares about him, and that's why that, like, that's such a good impetus for why she would undertake this, right? This, it just feels like a little bit like you're limping into the journey if it's like, oh, I don't want to deal with Gramps. Like, I guess this piques my intellectual interest.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. I'm trying, like, it's your audience surrogate. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think.
And maybe the issue might be that they don't have really anywhere to grow then from that point. But it's like, it does feel like it's not a movie about someone learning to love their grandpa. It's about, you know, someone reconnecting.
Well, I'm trying to think of how they do it with, I mean, it's obviously different, but, like, you know, Big Fish.
Yes.
Like, they, I mean, as he's gotten a difficult relationship with his father, and then as this thing happens, like, he starts getting sucked into the story and he starts caring.
Okay, sure. But, okay, like, okay, but there's someone, it's not that he has it, it's not he hates his dad. It's he's always felt like his dad is full of
shit. Yeah, yeah.
Like, his dad's always telling these goofy stories, and he never took them seriously and always thought, like, oh, dad's just an asshole. And so when he's dying, he's trying to figure out the truth of who his father was.
Yeah.
But then he realizes that the truth is through these stories. That's who he was. So, like, if you're going to do that, I could see something like, is it like she never, you know, she's always wanted to be closer to him, or, like, I don't know. I'm trying to, like, again, like, what is
something
active
for
her?
I just
don't want it to be like this is a chore for her. That doesn't seem like that's the
way to go
about it.
I guess the only thing, maybe it's telling of my family, but I'm just like, it's also like, because it's not the dad, it's just different. Like, how many people are like, I mean, I know people are, but it's like you're definitely farther away from your grandparents than you are. Like, I don't know. I mean, honestly, some people do.
Yeah, some people have, like, very close.
Do you want to just make it her dad then? Does it have to be a grandfather?
No, because there's something.
Something sweet about it.
Yeah,
like
it's always one of those things to me. Like, when I would go to, like, you know, I see my grandparents at, like, birthdays and stuff. But it's like, I remember the first time, like, I went to, like, the Cape, and I actually had to spend, like, I was like a week there with pretty much just me actually talking to them. It's like, wow, like, you know, you learn a lot about them. And it's like, I don't know why, you know, it's too bad I wasn't spending more time with them when I was a kid, because, you know, they're so much older than you. So there's something about kind of like growing.
Okay. So in that case, you could do, all right. So it's a teenager. She's with her parents. They're moving the grandfather into hospice care, or maybe the grandfather's moving into their house, right? And they're going to take care of him as he's dying.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, they kick her out of her room, and the grandfather's coming and he's staying in her room, right? And then you do that kind of thing. And then she discovers this box and she's like, oh my God, he had this secret lover.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Cause then, what I like about if you do like a younger kid,
do
like, yes, or like at least somebody under 18 who's still living with her parents,
is
like, you need to help us move grandpa.
Yeah.
Like, this is really horrible. And it's like, she could be going through her own thing at school. She could be having her own love troubles or whatever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she's taking care of him. She's trying to do as little help as possible. And like, there's some emergency at work and her parents got to go. They're like, shit, you got to stay with grandpa. You know, we'll be home later tonight. She's like, what? No. And then she's stuck there. And then it's all, you got also another, like, she's bored. She wants to figure out something to do. He's complaining. He wants food, you know, he wants to talk to her. She doesn't want to talk. And then, like, he, you know, and yes, like, maybe she pulls out a game of, and there's nothing in this stupid old house to play with. There's where's your Nintendo or whatever? Don't even have a ColecoVision or whatever. And it's like, all you got is Guess Who. All you got is Guess Who. And then they start playing. And then, like, yes, it would be something he says intrigues her or something. I don't know.
On a story level, it's kind of about, like, that classic, you find out your parents had a whole life before you, right? Like, again, like, when you're a kid, you just see your grandparents as these, like, again, they're the old people that give you Christmas presents, right? Like, that's kind of your relationship with them. But then there's, like, something that's so bittersweet as an adult is you start to understand your grandparents, and you really start to understand the incredible, amazing lives they have, but it's right at the end. Do you know what I mean? It's like, for a lot of people, you don't really, you know, with my grandmother, like, I remember, she was an amazing woman, and, but it was only as I became an adult that I started talking to her and really understanding in a way another adult can, like, this is an amazing person
I'm talking to.
So you have this kid, like, her grandfather is literally on his deathbed, and she's never really thought of him much other than being the guy who gives her socks for Christmas.
Or if
I'd even say he was probably, like, even, like, strict, and if you're gonna do that, he was in the military. Like, he wasn't very loving. The grandmother died when he was young. He was not very, he was like, she was like, oh, stuck up old grandpa who just like scolds me when I don't weed the house before I visit or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like that.
Oh, you know, it's a class you do. Okay. So this is the other thing I would do is that you do this kid, Kara, you would do, she is like, she's a budding romance novelist, right?
Sure.
Okay. And her parents, like, she's been screwing off reading romance novels and watching mm-hmm. movies and soap operas and stuff like that. And her grades are slipping. So her parents have banned her from all of that stuff. And like, this is her junk food, right? Like, this is her escape. So when she discovers this like secret romance,
this torrid affair
that her grandfather had, she's got to know more.
It'd be him slipping, you know, he's having like an episode and he mentions he's gay.
Yeah.
And like, that would blow her freaking mind. It's
all of the
pictures are him in his military gear, you know, standing next to his trophy wife, getting medals and shit.
He's like,
wait, what? What I also like
this
is
this is, by the way, the other thing I was, again, I start feeling like Kara is gay and her parents mm-hmm. don't want to deal with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can
like,
see
again,
that. Yeah, yeah.
And again, she feels closeted in her own home.
But what,
you know what I
really
mean? Like, again, they sense this in her daughter and they're trying to steer her away from it. They, like, they don't want her listening to his music. You know, I don't know. But again, like, I like this as a lifeline, and then she's going to see someone that that understands her, right? Anyway.
I think it's what I was gonna get to is like, I don't know if it's like she needs help, because I was looking into what I like is like, to me, her being a romance novelist is kind of like, I don't know if you need much more characterization than that in terms of like what's nice at the end is like she thinks there's gotta be a happy notebook ending.
Yes.
Like, this is what she loves. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, and the lesson, and again, I like that's like the elderly also needs some help from like the optimism of the youth. And
at the end
it would be that low point is like, look, it, you know, I spent 40 years not being able to love him. It's not going to happen today.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she's read too many romance novels. Fuck that. She's going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it is like she does. They get it's not the perfect ending because they're going to, you know, they only have moments. But it is like, her optimism at the end is like the thing that at least gives them some
closure.
Some closure.
Closure.
Yeah,
closure. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, you got to give them you do the big fish, and she like writes the end. She writes this story, and then the end is her reading the story to him. And as he's dying, it is like Big Fish. Because maybe that's just the ending. I don't know if we can do that. It's just the ending of Big Fish. But I was gonna say, in the end of the story, she tells him about this magic flight that they go on, and they find the guy, and they're reunited, and then he dies. You know, and she gives him the closure he needs.
And that'd be intense for the 17-year-old just to be with her grandfather as he dies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you could do that. You could do that. You're doing. I mean, you could do the trick.
Big Fish was long enough ago. Let's do it.
Trick the audience thing, and it's like you do this whole romantic ending, and then you pull out of it, and she's writing it.
Is he a writer
in Big Fish?
And then she's like, no. Then she's like, I'm gonna sell this novel for a shitload of money. It's gonna be from the girl who saw her grandfather die.
Well,
this is gonna
great,
be a bestseller.
What's great too is you could do also that it's like this. Oh, this guy, he was told by society to keep this quiet all this whole time, right?
Yeah.
And she starts digging into this stuff. Her parents are even like, fucking leave that in the past.
Yeah.
Like, that does not, like, they're like, they're against her learning more about it.
Because
again, everyone kind of suspected this about her grandfather, and it was like this big scandal.
That'd be the low point,
I mean?
Is that she's getting close to, and all of a sudden the parents come back, and then they realize what she's been doing. She's like, don't listen to him. Like, you know, why are you going to spit on your grandmother's grave? Like, let it.
They throw out the Guess Who board game.
Yeah.
And that's why. And then she finds the old one with the discontinued characters.
Yes.
And that's how she. Okay. All right. All right.
Something
all right.
Like
all right. So look.
Is he in the military or is he a board game guy? Or maybe he made board games.
What happened?
Or he made board games for the military.
Oh my God. It was a board. It was like, they have that CIA board game. Like, it was started out as like a what? No. I think you would do. I like the board. I like the board game company. Let's stick with that.
Yeah.
Like, this is about the story about the invention of Guess Who.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, but I think you could do like, again, he was in the war when he came up
absolutely.
With the idea, you know, and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's more like, I don't really know what the story of the grandfather is. Like,
they had a
just to run, I'm going to try.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay, pedal to the metal. All right, so let's talk. We got her arc figured out. I think that's fantastic. For the grandfather, right. Okay, so back in the day.
He fell in love with a German.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just trying to do it in 5 minutes from what you had. This is how he got the idea of Guess Who.
Mm-hmm.
He fell in love with a German. Maybe he was a prisoner of war. He was trying to come up with ways for him to communicate because the language of love knows no boundaries and they loved each other.
Yeah.
But they were trying to find ways to talk to each other. And then the war ended and he never saw him again for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was coming up with ideas. And the idea of Guess Who came from this game he played with the guy he loved during the war.
Yeah, they would like kind of I spy with the other prisoners.
Yes.
They would sit together and watch the Nazi guards and guess which one the other one was thinking of.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. exactly.
Okay.
So right, then, yeah. So then he thought he was never gonna see that guy again, and he maybe even tried searching.
Or they
for
escaped
him.
Together, but then they got lost.
They lost after the war.
They got lost during their escape.
You do that tragic thing where he finally sees him again, but it's right as he's getting married, because again, being homosexual in America during the '50s is very hard. He realized he just needed to have a normal life. You know,
he takes this job working for Milton Bradley.
Yeah, it's that classic where they're like, a CEO usually has like, a wife and lets people know they're normal and stable and everything. And so he got married with from a guy.
Wait, so he fell in love with a Nazi?
No, a German POW.
German. Okay.
Like a German civilian, I guess.
Every German was a Nazi, Freddie.
Well, but you were talking. Okay, I get it. Okay.
Or a Czech, or somebody in the war that's a different country.
Yeah, it was a resistance fighter.
Yeah,
sure, let's say a French resistance fighter.
He fell in love during the war, Freddie, with a French resistance fighter.
Yeah,
so romantic.
Yeah.
And then the guy found him. But found him like...
Freddie, give me a name for our French resistance fighter.
Dustin Langmuir.
Dustin Langmuir, our French resistance fighter.
Is that a French name? Sure, yes it is.
He tracked him down and found him, but found him the day after his wedding. And that was like, they had their big goodbye, and then that was it. They were never going to see each other ever again or whatever. Or maybe even he like left on
a think they had to have a saucy affair.
Well, then they had an affair.
Yeah, because he moved to America, right? Dustin. And then when he got famous for making Guess Who, that was how he found him, right? And then he was like a marketing guy. Like he did marketing after the war. Or something after the war. Yes. And so then he got hired at his company, right? And so then they were working on Guess Who together while having this affair in secret.
And then when it was discovered, the board of directors essentially made this thing like, you're free to have that, but you're going to lose the company, your position, all your stock, and you're going to ruin your family.
Yeah.
Made the sad decision. And then the guy moved back to Europe and he thought he was never going to see him again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we do need to kind of, it feels like, I thought the idea was that we're winnowing down dudes as well over the course of the story. So again, like you might do, like again, he had the affair in the war. There was a guy at the company, like you could do like there.
Yeah,
were,
yeah. I mean, I still think the idea is that he still doesn't know quite who. And then because it was all covered up.
Yeah.
And he doesn't remember anything. And all the family's destroyed all evidence of this. There is no evidence.
Yeah.
So he literally is trying to, the only evidence they have is that he knows there's one of these resistance fighters that were in prison is what it is, and they have they have one of those pictures of all the guys in prison, like the people escaping. It's like all they know is that's one of these 20 guys.
Yeah.
That's everything else is all been destroyed, or they didn't use names.
I thought the idea was that there was a picture of the guy in the Guess Who game.
Well, that's how they eventually. That's one of the ways they narrowed.
All right, sure, whatever. Yeah, well, that's whatever. All for future Matt and Will to figure out when they break the story. Okay, yeah, but that feels like, and then yeah, he had a moment. Again, to me, the it all builds up to he had this moment where he could have stood up and declared his love and thrown it all away and chased the dream, but he didn't, right? Again, because you're going to rhyme that at the end when the two of them walk to each other and kiss, right? Is that they both had this moment to do that. And they didn't do it.
What's really fun, really quickly.
1 minute.
What's really fun stylistically is what you do is the way you make this different from other stuff. Because, yes, it is essentially going to be – what's fun is that the audience is also going to begin rooting, almost like Bachelor-esque, like, who is the actual person? Because you can have him change his mind halfway through. It's like, oh, you know what? No, it wasn't the redhead. It was a brunette guy. And then you go back to, like, the war scene. And you're like, oh, shit, it was actually the guy who offered him tea. That guy was so much cuter than the guy that we thought was the guy in the first place.
And you're going through
and you start narrowing it down. So you start rooting for, like, oh, I hope it was. I hope of those three factory workers, it was that guy because I like that guy.
Yeah,
and you start realizing again. It's a little bit like an unreliable narrator. You just start slowly narrowing down these men in
his life. Because you have
who was it the whole way, and then you realize like, oh, that guy was there from the beginning to end. That was the whole story.
Yeah, and it was like again, he had his buddy that in the army, right? Yeah. And then he had again the German French resistance fighter, and then there was like the CEO's son, this playboy, right? And like you could do like again like a there he's remembering it and he's figuring it out as he goes, and like again she's going winning. Okay, yeah, we got it.
All right, that's something. That came out of something.
That's there. It is.
Guess who?
Guess who?
Wow.
What's the subtitle?
Guess who? The last kiss.
Guess who? The last kiss.
Okay.
Guess who? World War II. Electric Boogaloo.
Guess who? World War II. Electric Boogaloo.
There it is. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, the elevator pitch.
Friendly Fire is a war movie podcast, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to it.
Boy, I'll say. You know, a lot of people, Ben and Adam, might not initially watch a war movie podcast.
What's in it for me, they say.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what's in it for you. What's in it for you is a biting socio-political commentary, scattered dick and fart jokes.
And a lot of history. Like, there's the depicted wars, but also the history of the time period that these films were made and released.
They're very telling.
So download Friendly Fire every Friday from your favorite podcatcher.
Or MaximumFun.org.
Hey guys, Will Campos here. Welcome back from the break. We are, as you can hear, on the live floor of E3, the Electronic Entertainment Arts Expo, because this is our E3 episode.
Oh my god, Mario Party!
Oh, people are going nuts for the new Mario Party
game.
It's
Mario Party, my favorite.
People are going nuts for Mario Party. They're going nuts for Fallout.
Oh my god, are you Mr. Boner or whatever your Twitch name was last episode? I'm a big fan of yours.
Yeah, hi, I'm Boner. I'm Boner Goku Jedi 420.
Wow.
I'm here. I was playing in the Fortnite Pro-Am tournament. Totally got schooled by Ninja, but that's cool. It helped my profile.
That's so cool that characters from previous episodes of Storybreak are here, but we are here to pitch our Guess Who movie to Mr. E3 himself, Edmund Edwardian Entertainment Expo.
Oh, we usually don't say my full name. I like to keep that a little secret. Hello, Freddy. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thanks. Hey, give me one second. Let me just sidebar with my man Will here. Will, why are we pitching to E3 again?
Because this is our E3 episode, Freddy. We gotta stay with our fingers on the pulse of the zeitgeist.
Oh, right.
So I've heard that you have a video game-related heteronormative film for me. I'm very excited. That is the sort of stuff that we like to enjoy here at E3.
Okay, so here's the pitch.
Freddy, why don't you hurry up, because in exactly 1 minute, I have to go check out the new God of War movie film.
Oh, that's right.
57 seconds now.
This is an adaptation of the Milton Bradley board game Guess Who. It is a period romance set in two time periods, the modern day and World War II, where Kara, a precocious teenager, is going to find out about her grandfather's secret homosexual love affair that was never to be over the course of war. And in investigating the grandpa's past, unite him with his long lost lover.
That took half as long as it was supposed to. But it felt like 10 times as long. That was neither video game related nor heteronormative.
Oh, dang.
But you know what, Freddy?
What?
I think E3 is going to take a risk on this one. I think you might have just opened up Mr. E3's mind and heart just a little bit. I think I'm going to put all my personal money into financing that wonderful movie.
Yes. Hey, Mr. E3. Hi, this is your secretary.
Yeah, hi.
You're bankrupt.
Don't worry, Mr. E3. It's me, Satoshi Kon.
Oh my god!
I'm here with unveiling...
The guy who made Bitcoin!
The guy who made Bitcoin and animes!
I'm unveiling my newest coin yet, Satoshi Coin!
Whoa!
The newest anime-themed cryptocurrency, and I'm going to use all of my cryptos to make your gay Guess Who movie, Freddy.
Oh, nice! Oh, thanks, everybody!
Happy Pride Month from the Story Boys!
Don't say cryptocurrency didn't do nothing for you!
All right, well,
that's gonna do it for us this
that's
week.
That's gonna do it for the end scene.
Okay, just throwing this out here. If we all lav mic'd ourselves and then secretly took an improv class while being lav mic'd, would people listen to it? Tweet us at RJ Storybreak. If Matt, Freddie, and Will need to go to a Groundlings class secretly lavved up and just putting that online for improv, you just let us know, and we'll do it for you because
that
we love
be
y'all.
The most awkward podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just we could start a
Tell
new
us
side
to
podcast.
Do it, and we'll say yes, and then we'll go do it,
and we won't do it
anyway. You know why I would do that? Because we love all of you out there, especially the ones who have helped us out with tweeting names at us, at RJ Storybreak, and the ones who have left reviews. We love you all equally, but some of those people a little bit more. Those of you who left reviews on iTunes, and maybe the most love given to those who have been just killing it with the fan art every single week. It's a joy to open up the old RJ Storybreak Twitter and see what kind of amazing Photoshop creations come down the pipe. Will, what do we got this week?
Boy, oh boy, we got some humdingers this week, Freddie. We got a lot of great submissions. One I just saw that just came in under the wire from Ben Real Reviews with an incredible Creepy Crawlers poster. With a great tagline, all she wanted was a friend. It's and actually, from the director of Bug, William Friedkin, good choice there.
Yeah, me and Freddie just got fired off.
Yeah,
that.
You guys
I guess
got
we just cut from
I've never
movie.
Seen someone get fired by the poster artist before, but you guys got knocked out and for a pretty good director. We got another very good poster from 8, who gave us another one for Fortnite. Really awesome hand-drawn poster. Looks gorgeous. Fortnite, it's PUBG, but different. She also gave us a really awesome picture of the pitch that features an adorable drawing of Freddy as a 12-year-old.
Oh, that was so good. I'm just going to be my Twitter profile from now on. It's so good.
Matt looks especially cute as Freddy's dad. Have you not seen this one?
I think I did.
I retweeted this.
All right, well, while Matt looks that over, thank you to 8. Thank you as well to Ryan Brown, killing it once again with a twofer. He gave us a Fortnite poster with a stacked cast. Liam Neeson, Sigourney Weaver, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, Jesse Eisenberg, and Keanu Reeves in his John Wick garb. And then we also got the Fortnite breakfast cereal, or should I say the Oops All Thanos edition, which was very, very good. So thanks again,
had a good
Ryan.
Guffaw on that one.
Last but most certainly not least, I saved this one for the end because I felt like we'd get into a good little debate about it. Sam Archangel sent us in a poster for not Predators, not Players on Player Unknown's Battleground, but Fortnite with the tagline, "Wait, did we just remake the movie Predators?" The story boys after seeing this poster. So this is, he is accusing us of
plagiarism
from the 2010 film Predators.
Did he see the new Predators movie?
This isn't the new one that's about to come out.
Yeah, but the one that, didn't they do a Predators movie like 2 years?
And the similarities are there, I have to tell you.
Wait, really?
It's kind of like the Most Dangerous Game. Like, to be fair, I feel like if we're going to get accused of ripping this off, then it's more or less like Fortnite and PUBG kind of.
Well, also, I would just be clear that I haven't seen that movie.
Nor
have
I.
Will was very against that idea of that movie, so we did not plagiarize because Will was like, I don't want to do this. So maybe subconsciously you were like, we shouldn't do this because we're ripping off something.
I will jump on the story grenade and take the sacrifice for this one. I feel like I pretty much subconsciously rewrote the movie Predators.
Really?
As I am often doing. Yeah, it's like these humans, and then they wake up parachuting down to a planet, and then they realize they're basically in like an eco-preserve hunting
ground for the predators.
And then there is an old crazy human already been there for a while. So there are certain similarities, I grant you.
Well, shoot.
But hey, there's only so many stories, guys.
Yeah.
We do this every week. You gotta let us.
Where, you think Predator, steal one you think Predators story. Didn't steal from Shakespeare?
That's what Gentlemen of Verona, right?
Yeah.
Like, they dive into Verona, and there's like 5 of them, and they gotta like get.
I believe that was the plot of Army of Two, Gentlemen of Verona.
Yeah, exactly. Army of Two, Gentlemen of Verona.
We should do Army of Two sometime.
Next week on Story Break, Army of Two, Gentlemen of Verona.
Me and Freddie played quite a bit of Army of Two together.
All right, guys, let's put this episode to bed. Thank you to everyone who sent in that art. Thank you again for our name loans. Thanks you to Roxy Stokes for lending us her mother's name, Kara.
Yeah.
And thank you to Dustin Lemaire. Was it? I think I just tried to French up his last name to make
for
it
for being beautiful in French.
For being beautiful in French.
Thank you also to MaximumFun.org for having us on their podcast network. Head on over to MaximumFun.org for a whole bunch of fun podcasts in the vein of quality, because that's only ones they have, only quality podcasts on there.
Thanks as well to Cameron Covell, our awesome sound editor, for making us sound good.
Well, that'll do it for us this week, this E3 week. So until next week, E3...
is the
only place
where we
to be.
Barely a sentence, but I'll take it. All right, thanks, everybody.
Friendship is tough, especially when you're constantly slaying carnivorous hell beasts bent on your destruction.
Hey, make sure to clean the tub. I might actually need to shower today.
Oh, don't give me that. You've been wearing the same pair of track pants since Tuesday. I mean, they still have the size sticker on the leg.
Yeah, they do. Well, still, I was thinking today might be the day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's still alive! Kill it!
I don't have any weapons!
Get it with the shower head!
Shit. My burrito got some gunk on it.
But that's just Fairhaven. We make it work. Bubble, the sci-fi comedy from MaximumFun.org. Just open your podcast app and search for Bubble.